Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do. Put on the kettle, make a little brew. That'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Yes, another week, halfway through another week. And here we are with another Book and a Chat with me, Barry. And as always, you know, the fun things happen just as we start and start the show. It took a couple of clicks for it to work yesterday, and then the phone rang halfway through the introduction of the music. But I am here, and so is my guest. Now, something, as they say, as John Cleese might say, now for something completely different today. It is that sort of thing, because when you think about it, from the beginning of time, communication was done by stories, handed down through generation to generation, enhanced tales of daring do's and all sorts like that. I mean, even to things you can remember growing up. I mean, who cannot remember getting upset when Dumbo couldn't reach her mother, for instance? Or in my case, I can remember the very first Doctor Who. I can also remember the very first time the Daleks came on and me and my sisters were hiding behind the couch. Dead look. But that's another story. But it is storytelling in one way or another is one of these things. But you've got a story, but then you can perhaps make that story better. And my guest today, he can tell us about a company that he has that not just helps you with watching a story, enhances the story, and all sorts of. I said to him, I'm going to let you explain it to me. But I better introduce my guest, then we can talk about it a bit more, because on the show today I have the one and only John Edwards. Hi John, how are you doing?
Hi Barry, how are you? We might need to clarify that. They might think that I'm the disgraced political figure.
Ah, right, yes, that's true. Yeah.
Or occasionally I get mistaken for the guy who talks to the dead, and that's not even exactly the right name. But
when I told my wife who was coming on the show, she says, "Oh, that's the one that speaks to the spirits, isn't it?" So there you go.
There you go.
She got it. She knew. first off, the company itself is called Luminous Blue. Now, I seem vaguely in the back of my very old and grey matter to think that's some sort of star, isn't it, or nova or something like that. Luminous Blue.
Very good. Top marks for you, Barry. That's exactly right. Sitting around coming up with the name, trying to figure out what we would call our company. It was actually one of my colleagues, Norman Pratt, who came up with it and introduced us to the idea, because I had not heard of a luminous blue. I did not know of it, as an astronomical thing. And he showed us a picture, and it's this gorgeous, it looks like a nebula or something like that.
Yeah.
It's really striking, and obviously in a sort of a bluish spectrum. And I was like, we were all like, yeah, exactly. Let's be that. That looks great. It kind of captures the imagination. It's visually stunning. And, and we work with light since, we endeavor to make film and TV and, of course, books and everything else. But it all comes down to light. There's a very visual component to what we do.
Right.
So, that is our company, Luminous Blue. It's online at luminousblue.tv, but I'll mention that, later.
Right.
I'll get the plug here, but
just as many as you want,
I'll just say it over and over again. But it's funny that you mentioned when you, I just have to say this because you mentioned something about remembering the first Doctor Who.
Yep.
And I'm a big Whovian myself, and I literally have, I almost wish we were doing this, you know, on video or something, because I have a blue Dalek on my desk that a friend of mine gave me, a little stuffed Dalek. It used to speak and threaten to exterminate me, but the sound box, I guess, is dead. Still have it nonetheless, and I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. He's talking about Doctor Who and blue stuff, we're in good shape. So
no, I called it my ex-wife is a Whovian, and she was telling me that the new series, whatever the one that she saw last week, for the first time in all the Doctor Who she's watched the lot sort of thing, she got very upset with it.
I have to know why.
And emotionally, it was a very upsetting program. I don't know exactly what the ins and outs, but she said for the first time ever, with all the sort of comings and goings and leavings and what have you, she actually got upset watching the not sure it's the first one in the new series or what have you. But it's I warn you.
No, I just finished watching what I think is the last episode of this season of the brand new show with the new Doctor Who.
Yeah,
who's next? His name is Mkuti, and I can't think of his last name, who's great. But they brought back the showrunners and some of the key people, I think, some of the key people that made Doctor Who so special in the later year, you know, my generation of it. T. Davies and I'm blanking on the other guy's name now. Stephen Moffat.
Yeah.
And you can really tell because they're Hugo Award-winning episodes every single outing. And I agree. I get often very moved and to tears often with Doctor Who ever since. I mean, my first exposure to the Doctor was Tom Baker, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
But since Tennant and Matt Smith, there are a lot of times where I finish an episode and I'm in tears.
Yeah. Tennant, especially with the girl coming and going and what have you. Yeah. Oh, crikey. Everything. He's going to marry her. No, he's not. She's going to go. She's going to go home. No, she'll forget him.
And I think to myself at the end, I had this sort of love-hate relationship with Russell Davies and Stephen Moffat because I so admire and aspire to write like they do. But I also hate them because they can do that, seems like, every single time, you know, and I know they struggle. All writers do, you know, they have their writer's block or whatever, but, you know, they come up with such, I mean, amazing, mind-bending stuff over and over and over again. I'm just like, I don't know how in the world I could ever
isn't that the sort of thing that you do though? I mean, the whole of your company are very passionate about stories, you know, obviously they teach us or they move us, like we're saying, you know, that you doesn't Luminous Blue sort of take that story, enhance it and makes it something that people won't forget. You know, whether it's educational or whether it's humor or what is it? Isn't that sort of something that you set out to do?
It very much is. It's actually what it binds the three of us together and what led us to create the company, because that was exactly what we wanted to do. We wanted to tell stories that weren't just commercially successful. I mean, obviously we hope that too, but the key thing, and this is something that we actually talk about fairly often, about, you know, who we are, who we will continue to be no matter what happens to the company. And it's that we want to tell stories that matter, the stories that stick with you, the stories that inspire. And for me, it's, you know, the stories that you want to share, the stories that you can go back to and watch again and again and not get bored with, and that you would share with your children or with your friends or something. You know, they're like heirlooms. You know, on our website, we talk a little bit about, you know, that moment when you first saw Christopher Reeve as Superman fly, right? Like, you know, you remember when that happened. Or when Elliot said goodbye to E.T.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Elsa, I could watch any of those.
Ouch.
Anytime I see them on TV, I'll sit and watch them, you know, and they will affect me the same now as they did then. And I want to tell stories. I aspire to tell stories and help people create stories that do that same thing. Because they are, like you said, story is how we communicate.
Exactly.
How we communicate from the beginning.
Interesting,
you know.
Interesting what you just said. Do you do the stories, or can you take somebody's story and enhance that, or do you do both?
With Luminous, we tell only our own original stories at this moment.
Right.
But we are open to working with people to help them tell their stories as well. I mean, it's not something we do as much of at the moment, but it is certainly something that we're open to individually on my own. In my freelance work, I often do a lot of story consulting and story editing for people, you know, whether it's just a professional thing or for a time I was writing for Tom and Jerry.
Okay.
And for Warner Brothers. And while I was writing my own scripts, or stories that they had given to me, occasionally they would come to me with a script from another writer who just, the story wasn't quite there yet, or they needed a title for the story or that kind of thing. And so on those occasions too, I was helping, you know, get the story where it needed to be and tinkering with the story. I love to do as well. I love working with other people's stories. Sometimes I find that to be a lot easier because they've kind of done the heavy lifting of coming up with the story.
Right.
And, I just have to wax it. That's all, you know, I was like, that's easy. Hey, I can pretend like I'm writing, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, credit where credit is due. They have done the hard work first, and it's about really helping it find its light. Really. I mean, we're going to bring it back to a luminous blue kind of thing.
Exactly. There you go.
Really showcase it, you know, what they have there.
So who comes up? I mean, does one of you come up with a story, or is it, do you sort of work together? How does the process go?
It's a, you know, it's a great sort of freewheeling system that we have. Sometimes it's a story I have, or something I've had. A few of the stories that we're developing now were stories I was working on before we started Luminous. And so then Luminous just, you know, optioned them. And so now they're Luminous stories. Some of my other colleagues have come up with stories on their own and that we then, you know, work with. And then sometimes there have been cases where the three of us literally have been sitting around in a meeting and just sort of come up with something truly all three of us at once, you know, so it's a true group effort from the very beginning. And then of course there's a list of story ideas that we're going to work on at some point when we get around to them. You know, once we get our current, you know, plate empty, mm-hmm. you know, we'll move up some other projects and keep going. But so the short answer to that is it sometimes it's one of us, sometimes it's three of us, you know, but we all, you know, we all sort of, we take it in, and it at some point it becomes a luminous story, and then we all have a
good thing. Good way of putting it. And of course, doing it like that allows you to do things, you know, topical things. Like I think you did one on Earth Day. I know you did one about an otter. I remember seeing something about an otter, and I loved the character of the otter. But you can cover all sorts of things that, you know, all sorts of subjects that are relevant to this day and age as well.
Yeah, we're working on a property now. We're sort of reinvigorating or reimagining a property that was from the late 70s. I don't know if you're familiar. You're in Connecticut. The accent's out. I keep thinking you're in the UK. In the late 70s, there was a kids show called Captain Kangaroo. I don't know if you remember that.
No, we never had it, but I do know it. We didn't have it in England, but I do know it. Yeah.
Okay. So, and there was a gentleman on the show at one point named Slim Goodbody, a character named Slim Goodbody. And he taught kids about nutrition and health and how to take care of themselves and their bodies and things like that. And he's a striking sort of iconic figure because he used to show up in a bodysuit that was like anatomically correct. It showed all the organs and the bones. You can't miss that image. And so we've been working with the guy who created Slim, John Bernstein, to basically bring Slim back for today's audience and do the same sort of things that he did back in the late 70s and in the 80s. For a while, he was on PBS, had his own show. And it would talk about health and nutrition, and it would get into some other things too. But nowadays, post-COVID, and there's a lot more emphasis on mental health and emotional
things
the kids are going through, we see, you know, now is the time to bring that back and talk about nutrition, talk about healthy behaviors like sleep habits, all that kind of stuff, but also take it in a new direction that really is something that kids are grappling with today and that they need. It's, you know, not just, oh, here's a great opportunity. It's like, there's a great need. And John's been fantastic to work with, and we've been very fortunate. We've come up with a new version of the show. And, you know, we've been talking about how different ways to put it out there. And it's been a blast. It really has. And it's, you know, one of the perks of doing what I do is, the other thing is too, I used to watch him, I grew up at the Kangaroo, and now here I am actually working with this gentleman that I used to watch on TV. And when I see him on my Zoom screen, it's like, I have to kind of pinch myself a little bit. Like, I cannot believe this is what I get to do. Right. I mean, it's awesome. But
that
yeah,
so good. That's so good.
We want to do an entertaining, but important.
That's it. I mean, and people who are, when you're entertained, it's like I always say about, you know, people who write, say, about abuse or about an illness and stuff like that. Rather than do a non-fiction type book, you know, 10 ways of doing this and that and the other, if they put they put it into a fiction novel, into a character, then the people who are reading that book, they could well relate to that character. And they're going to remember that stuff because it's they take the place. This is me. This happened to me, sort of thing. Whereas if it's a non-fiction, it's this isn't this, but they're not part of it. But if it's a fiction and it's a character, you become part of that story and remember that story.
I agree, and I think another really important function that fiction has, and the same reason I think that puppets work so well, is it helps people let their guard down.
Yes.
They can hear a truth that they're not going to hear if someone's just talking at them, or if it's a very dry sort of instructional, you know, here's, you know, 5 things to do to help you not be depressed or something.
But
if you put it into a tale, because, you know, we're inherently invested in the characters because we see ourselves in them.
Yes.
But yet they can still be then, you know, we're still talking about their trouble. So it's easier to address. Whereas if we think of it in terms of just, you know, sort of cold and raw, like, this is me, you know, the defenses come up. And like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to think of it as my problem. But if I can think about it as someone else's problem, I can engage with it.
Totally agree.
So, yeah, no, I think it's incredibly powerful. The power of storytelling for, you know, in therapeutic situations, I think, is an incredibly significant.
I mean, I know you try and get, obviously, there's adventure type things and humor and you know, all sorts of things. Do you put morals into them as well?
You know, that's an interesting question. It's a good question, especially here in the States now. God, I see here in the States. You're in the States too. Sorry. I know you're here. I know you're in Connecticut. Sorry about that. I'm beguiled by your accent.
It's the only one I got.
But yeah, we do. And it's not that we're trying to preach. I mean, we want to be very careful about not preaching or telling someone, anything too specific, but there are a lot of very universal things, you know, universal codes about how to be just a good person, regardless of whether you're Catholic or Protestant or Buddhist or what, or atheist, whatever. There's a baseline that we all can do and we all should do. And I think probably all religions include that, you know, like, you know, empathy, a willingness to believe in oneself, you know, to keep going when things get tough, story, you know, things like that,
yep,
that work very well with whatever religion that you are. So we do try to include that too. We want to have a lot of fun with our shows and our stories, but we also want there to be something sort of enriching. I don't necessarily want to say, you know, we try to make them educational.
Right.
Although, I mean, we do have some that we actually are more focused on actually being sort of like an educational type show that we've thought about. But I like to use the word enriching, meaning that you get something from it. You get something that you can use that either can inspire you or help you be a better person, you know, and it can be very simple. But I don't think we ever do anything that's purely silly. You know, there's always a little bit of heart. There's always a little bit of something, no matter how much fun we're having, you know. And if you want to just stay for the fun, that's great. If you want to just stay for the adventure, that's fine too. If you really want to look a little deeper, there's something there for you. And you may pick it up and not even realize it, which is also, you know.
I mean, growing up, and mm-hmm. in my parents' day, and before that, you know, we had Aesop's Fables and the, mm-hmm. the not just so, the you know, like how, yeah. what's it got his stripes, you know, or armadillo and, you know, and all this sort of stuff. Yeah, I mean, that was it. We grew up with those sort of stories that were a story, but it was a bit of education as well, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And you still, it's like, how can I say, it's like, you know, I don't know, colours of the rainbow, say, right? When you were at school, you learned, in our case, we learned Richard of York gave battle in vain. That was the colours of the rainbow, you know, and the musical notes and keys mm-hmm. and everything. You learn a little phrase and you can still quote it, you know, it's stuck in there.
You know what? To this day, that's still how I remember the order of the planets. You know, my educated mother just served us 9 pickles.
Well, exactly. Like, yep.
No pickles anymore because there's no Pluto as a planetoid. But
you can't. Yeah, no Pluto. Yeah, what happened there? Yeah.
I had to learn a whole new phrase now.
Yeah, I know. But that's just showing you the power of a story mm-hmm. or a story or a phrase or something like that that people. Yeah. Can still remember, the stuff today. But if you ask kids today about some of this stuff, they have what? What's that? What's a planet?
Oh, I know. I know, and I try to use metaphor and story as much as possible because for me, it sticks with me.
Yeah.
Too. I mean, if you think about it, going back, you know, again to early storytelling, Jesus spoke in parables and metaphors.
Exactly.
He never laid it out. You know, regardless of what you feel about. You know, his divinity or whatever, you know, he told stories. We can at least agree on that. Yeah.
Just look at Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan, right? Good Samaritan. One of the best known stories, right?
Oh, yeah. It's most touching if you think about it.
Yeah. It tells you, know? You. And people who most likely don't know a thing about it have heard about it, you know, and I think that's great. And in a way, that is what you're doing. You know, with your great company.
Oh my God, I love the. Okay, I'm just gonna put that recording. I'm gonna take a clip of what you just said. I'm gonna play that anytime I feel like I'm just not making it. I'm like, oh my God, you put it perfectly.
No, but I can see the possibility this day and age where visual is it basically. You know, and the fact that you're able to. Bring forth stories to produce in a way that people will remember them or will, you know, make people think about things or just enjoy things and laugh. This is what we need this day and age. And the fact you've got everything there with your people and the skill of some of the artwork's amazing. I just think it's terrific what you're doing.
Yeah, Randy Gall is our visual guy. I mean, we all have actual titles, but I mean, he is, you know, the face of Luminous. And, as you've obviously seen the website, it's incredible. He does his sketch level work is what most people would consider polished. It's always amazing to me. And as a writer, it's always been fun for me to see artwork based on stuff that I've written.
Yeah.
So when I get, you know, it's so funny because they'll very unassumingly post something on the on our work site saying, "Oh, here's a sketch for that story we're working on. What do you think?" I'm thinking, you know, I'm blown away. I'm like, "Well, let's go out with it now."
I know I mentioned it earlier on, but the otter, was it Otter Madness? Is that that picture of that otter is just amazing.
Oh my God. It's a real thing. It's based on a real otter who actually goes out and harasses surfers, which immediately captured our attention. It's actually not too far from where we live here.
Uh-huh.
It's Santa Cruz. And, you know, like the three of us almost immediately, I think Norman might have been the one who mentioned it first. I forget who actually mentioned it to the three of us in a meeting. But well, all three of us like, "Oh, we got to do this. This is insane. This is the funniest thing we've ever heard of."
Time is beating us, John. So I could go on talking about all that you do for a long while, I tell you. But what I'm going to do now is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find more about Luminous Blue, about you and your people and everything like that and the sort of things you do. So over to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Barry. So my show now.
I've got an off switch here. It's okay.
The power's gone to my head already. But I want to just make sure to mention again very clearly to everybody that our company is luminousblue.tv, not .com, but .tv. And there you can see a good example of who we are as a company, what we believe in, the sorts of things that we do, as well as our specific projects. We work primarily with age ranges from 5 to 8 to 8 to 12. And so you can see some of the shows that we're currently developing, as well as profiles about each of the three of us, Norman Pratt, Randy Gall, and myself, John Edwards, and, you know, kind of what we do, a little bit about where we came from and how we ended up meeting up and starting Luminous right before quarantine. So not necessarily the best timing, but we worked it out anyway. So, by all means, please stop by online, give us a shout out, say hi. Keep us in your list of things to check in on because we are constantly working. And hopefully we'll have some new and interesting stuff out very soon in book or game or movie or TV form, you know, depending on what the fates, what the gods of entertainment industry, you know.
Right.
Feel so cool to dole out to us. But we'll keep plugging no matter what. So.
Well, John, thank you so much for being a guest on the show. It's been fascinating, talking to you about this thing. Something's a little bit different to what we normally have, just about the book, but it's something that is so relevant and increasingly so as we become more and more of a visual society. So thank you so much and good luck with the company in the future.
Thank you, Barry, and thank you to your listeners for giving us some time here. And I'm looking forward. I may have to go back and I've been telling everyone to check out the show. I'm going to go back and listen to the show too and see if it turned out as well as it seems in my head that it did.
Okay. Well, thank you anyway for being on this show. Bye bye.
You, Barry. Have a good evening.
And you. Well, how about that then? My guest today, John Edwards, talking to about the company and the show and the things they do and everything like that. Beautiful, beautiful stuff, wasn't it? Luminous Blue is the company. LuminousBlue.tv. Get that right. Check there, find out all sorts of stuff. Well, that's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday, 5 to 6, with Those for the Days, music from the 20th century. And we are doing a theme. It's the second theme of history. Songs about history, historical incidents, etc. And then, of course, from 6 to 7, the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s, from not just the British invasion, but around the world. And then next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back with fresh guests. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in our morning. In the afternoon or in the evening too, cheese up, pour yourself a cup.